Let's bring in James Sharman from Sportsnet into this conversation. We'll be talking EPL and Champions League in a second. But Sharman, always a pleasure getting you on the playbook with Sat and John here on Sportsnet 650. But do you think the Whitecaps are looking at the Davies era outside of the money that he's bringing in as an opportunity lost in terms of building around him for a few years?
Yeah, it's a really good question, guys. Perhaps so, yeah. I think it happened really quickly for them too. I mean, they got this kid at 14, 15 mm-hmm. years of age, and he rose a star really quickly, of course, breaking through the Gold Cup last year. And then I think most people expected him to have a breakthrough season domestically this year, which, of course, happened. What was the team in place around him to make a push? I don't think so, you know. And I think there's a lot of questions being asked at the Vancouver right now. What is their direction? What do they want to do going forward? Because, you know, there's been so much, you know, turmoil in the transfer window, ins and outs over the years in Vancouver. And even this past off season, I think it was almost a dozen players, you know, came and went. That's a lot of players, you know, and some good players left as well. So did they address their needs? Probably not. And perhaps they should have got a better squad mm-hmm. around a young player that was going to have a breakout season. It's a real shame. I think overall they did a good job with him, nurturing him, and give a lot of credit to Kyle Robinson for that, of mm-hmm. course. But yeah, I mean, this was the year, wasn't it? There's every chance he was going to leave very shortly, you know, and it in fact happened in the end, and it's another wasted campaign. It's a real shame.
No, it is a shame. And my biggest question moving forward about the Whitecaps, James, has to do with ambition, because that's the word every single soccer club in the world wrestles with. What is your ambition? And right now, we're not quite sure what the Whitecaps' true ambition is. They talk about wanting to be one of the best clubs in the MLS, but are they doing the things necessary to be seen as a top club, not only in the MLS, but in the world too?
You know, I remember interviewing Kyle Robinson, it must be about 3 years ago now, or maybe 2 years ago, when he first arrived back in Toronto as the coach. And I asked him about, you know, the ambitions and TFC and can they compete with him. And he was a little bit prickly, which is unlike Robbo, a bit prickly, saying, well, you know, we can't compete with that kind of money. That's ridiculous. And it's been proven they can't, but they have to find a way, if not compete with the highest spenders in MLS, at least spend some more money. You know, you've got 20, 22, 23 million coming in potentially from Alphonso Davies. You have to reinvest that in the squad, or most of it in the squad. It's a league that's been proven that if you scout well and you have got a pretty good budget, then you can succeed in this league. And there's no reason why Vancouver can't do that. But, you know, I don't know what the direction is. I don't know, you know, what the ambition is. Is there a philosophy at the club? There's a lot of question marks right now, and that goes, you know, from the top down. So, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating summer, or winter, sorry, so to say, for Vancouver, and one of the, if not the most important, I think, probably in club history.
Before we get to the Champions League, James, just one quick last note about Alphonso. It's his final game with the Caps this weekend on Sunday. Your expectations, we think it's going to be a sellout because of how important this is, but the media, how many members of the media from even out east in Toronto do you think should be there at the game on Sunday to just really just capture the last game for Davies here in the MLS?
Hey, don't get me started with the media and soccer. I've been fighting that battle my whole career.
Right.
You know, it should be a packed house in the media gantry as well, because this is a kid from Canada who potentially could be one of the faces of world football if all goes according to plan. And that's not putting too much on him, but there's a lot of expectations for him. So, yeah, I would hope there'd be some great media coverage of this in what should be an emotional day for not just Alphonso, but for all the Vancouver fans and the Whitecaps club as well. But the reality is, you know, we're still fighting a bit of an upward battle here in Canada mm-hmm. for exposure for soccer. Obviously, you know, I think we do a really good job at Sportsnet. But overall, the other providers, you know, big and small, regional or otherwise, are still trying to figure out this game. You know, sad to say, that's a reality. So I hope it's going to be a good contingent, but I wouldn't bank on it.
And hopefully we have nothing but, you know, happy but a little sad storylines for Monday when we do get back after the game on Sunday. Now, moving over to the Champions League, Juventus with a big win over Manchester United, and right now producer Bick wincing because he was watching that game, and obviously a meaningful loss there. But which team are you looking in the Champs League this year, thinking they are the team to beat? Juventus, obviously flawless. They haven't given up a goal just yet, but is it Juventus or is it a different team elsewhere in the different groups that you're looking at?
Well, for me, it's Juventus. It's as simple as that. And we can talk about Real Madrid, who have had a very poor start to the season, are probably going to fire their manager, Lobo Tuegui, any day now, no matter what happens this weekend in El Clasico. Barcelona, obviously, will always be in the hunt there. Man City, intriguing at the very least. But Juventus are this veteran, savvy team. And you watch them play Manchester United this past week. And United, for all their issues right now, for all their problems, they're still a pretty decent team. Let's be honest here, right? Now, they're not where they should be, obviously, but they're a decent team. And Juventus toyed with them. Mm-hmm. I know it's just 1-0. But it wasn't even close. It felt as if Juve, if they wanted to at any time, could hit their top gear and destroy United. So for me, this Juventus team, that they've been so close in recent years. And they're only getting better now with Ronaldo, of course, up front. With Dybala getting better with every game as well. A young player. Betancur, of course, in midfield as well. They terrify me. And they should terrify every team in Europe right now because they have it all. They have a bit of youth, sure. But they have that ruthlessness mm-hmm. and that savvy that you have to succeed in this tournament. They're going to roll through the Serie A again. I think that's pretty obvious. And I think this could be their year.
Well, and usually we watch Bayern Munich roll through teams, and not only have they struggled by their standards in the Bundesliga, well, they're second in their group, and Ajax has been slightly better than they have been. Like, how do we view Bayern Munich right now? A team through transition, they'll figure it out, or like, what's your take on them?
Well, firstly, I mean, I think we give Ajax some credit here as well. Some of those Dutch teams now, I mean, Dutch football's been in a real malaise in recent years, mm-hmm. but I get the impression there's enough youngsters coming through the systems there. We're seeing it at PSV and Ajax that they're about to become a world force once again. It might take a couple more years, but they're going to be up there. But, you know, Bayern get the brand new coach this past offseason, Niko Kovac, who was a bit of a surprise when he was named there. Not that experienced. But he's trying to figure out what he has. He has some aging players in that team, don't forget, the Robbens and the Ribéry's, who still on their day are still magnificent, but they're not what they quite used to be. So in this kind of transitional stage, which is why they're spending $20 million on a player like Alphonso Davies. They have to get some more youth in that side. But I think overall, it's been a stuttering start for Bayern Munich. And listen, I think it looks worse because Borussia Dortmund, who are in first place in Germany, have been so brilliant this year. And they're so much fun to watch that it makes Bayern look worse. Mm-hmm. But, you know, write them off at your peril. Again, it's a veteran team. It's a team that's been there before, has winners throughout that lineup. And, you know, a team that very much should be a contender. But listen, early season, you get some odd storylines. And I think Bayern Munich's just one of those.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, they're going to get Alphonso Davies not too long from now, so we'll see how that goes. But let's shift gears to the EPL. It's already match day 10. We're almost a third of the season in. City and Liverpool remain atop of the table. And maybe the best match this week is on Monday between Tottenham and Man City. Like, how pivotal is that? Not only for City, of course, they want to remain up top, but for Tottenham to make that step and be in the real conversation here, how pivotal is that matchup?
Well, it's funny, isn't it, with Tottenham right now? Because, you know, you watch the Premier League and they have had the best start in their mm-hmm. history in the Premier League. Yet they're not playing very well.
Right.
And people are writing them off saying, Spurs had their chance. They're just not good enough. They're chokers, yada, yada. But look at the points. You know, they've got a long way to go to reach their potential this season. And already they've got 21 points. And they're just off the top places. So, you know, they're a team that I find really intriguing. I think maybe they need more mental strength, and that's been the issue in the last couple of years. There's just come out literally a few minutes ago now. They won't be in the new stadium until next year now. It's been delayed. They should have been in September. It's been delayed. Now it's not until next year. That must be a huge distraction. So Spurs are just fine. They're a very good team. We know that. But it's been a tough start to the season, and I think they're going to find Man City just too much of them. Man City, for me, right now it might be close in the standings, really close in fact, but I think by May they're going to stretch themselves and will be, you know, way ahead of the pack. You see them during the week in the Champions League again. Back comes Kevin De Bruyne. They didn't miss him. This is probably the best player in English football, and they didn't miss missing him for 2 months. It's a ridiculous wealth of talent they have there. So I think this match will be a great one to watch, but I think in the end it might be a little bit lopsided in Man City's favour.
And that Spurs stadium, that was where the NFL was supposed to have some games overseas this season. So we know that's been an ongoing issue with the delays in the construction. But
I believe there's a game on Sunday, NFL game on Sunday at Wembley.
Right.
And they're playing at Wembley against Man City on Monday. So
we'll have to get your thoughts one day about maybe trying to grow the NFL in a place like England. But Liverpool, do you think this is also a good week for them? Obviously going up against Cardiff, it's not a great team there, but if Man City does stub their toe, this is a great chance for Liverpool to maybe overtake them and have that top spot.
It really is. And listen, Cardiff, they won last week 4-2 against Fulham. They doubled their goal output for the entire season, right? Forget last week, Fulham's dreadful defensively. This is a team that cannot score goals. Neil Warnock, their manager, who's one of the great characters in the game, came out at the press conference this week and said, you know, it's pretty much impossible to beat Liverpool at Anfield.
Right.
He said that. And, you know, their record is they haven't lost there since April 2017. It's been one loss in 45 games. He's got a point. And Cardiff just aren't a very good team. They're a promotion side. Didn't spend too much money in the off-season. Have difficulty scoring goals. So it should be an easy 3 points for Liverpool, who, a bit like Tottenham, you know, are doing really well in the league, but actually haven't played that well on a consistent basis domestically. We know there's a lot more to come from Liverpool. So they, in the past, this is the kind of game they definitely slip up about. It's in years past, a number of times. Great runs late in the season, then they'll lose to a Cardiff or a Sunderland or someone.
Right.
This team looks a little bit different. They're winning the games they should win. So I would imagine this should be a one-sided affair at Anfield. Cardiff just not good enough. And with Mo Salah warming up now finally, Sadio Mane scoring as well, you know, watch out. It could be a cricket score.
Sportsnet 650.